I apologize. My grandson was trying to sing Jesus Loved Me over top of you guys singing your offering song. And you know what? I pray we never, ever lose the love of hearing children try and sing and worship the Lord. I mean, drown me out, that's no problem. But I hope none of you were offended, but he was belting it out. He was singing it, and praise Jesus for that. So, oh, well, I would like, you know what, I want to open with a quick prayer because I need it, and you can come along with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just lift this time to you that the words that are said are straight from your heart. That, Father, you hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that everything I say will be done to your honor and glory. And Lord, that I would not say a word more or a word less, but everything to your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Why we follow. That's the title. You know, you guys are unique. And in the eyes of the world, you're all kind of odd. Yeah. Did you like that, Joe? I did too. Because you are here on a Sunday morning, relatively early, when you could be at home making a nice breakfast, or you could be going out for breakfast, or you could be sleeping in, or you could be out fishing, or for some, you could be out, what do they say? Getting in a quick nine holes of, is that what they say? I'm not a golfer. Have grace here, guys. You could be out golfing. But you're here, sitting in church, singing, and listening to an average, middle-aged grandma slash great-grandma, sometimes crazy woman, talking. That's odd. You're all odd. In my definition, that all makes all of you just a little as crazy as I am. So please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 5, verse 1. And we're going to be flipping over too, so not too far. Give me an amen when you're there. Amen. Now, when he, meaning Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and began to teach them. And he began to teach them. And now I want you to turn to Matthew 7, verse 28. And you're thinking, what is she possibly going to get out of that? When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. And that's it. I hope you all know that the scripture in between the first Matthew 5 that I read and 8 verse 1, that is usually called the Sermon on the Mount. How many of you knew that? That's considered the Sermon on the Mount. But actually, it could also be called the Teaching on the Plain, because Jesus was actually doing more teaching than he was preaching at that time. But there's something significant about those two small passages that sometimes gets overlooked. It's the crowds. The crowds. Think about it. The crowds had begun to follow him. It wasn't just his disciples anymore. Even at this time, the crowds were growing. When we think of a crowd, I think, you know, around here, a crowd can be 30 people. Then you look back at to the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 men. They didn't even count the women or the children. That's a crowd. And they all were following him. But what's significant is even after 20-some centuries, the crowds are still following Jesus. By the grace of God, we are labeled in that group because we come to follow and listen to him. But why? Why? What is it that causes crowds to follow him? What is it that you and I, why is it that you and I follow him? Well, I'm going to give you a few points to that today. Number one, we follow Jesus because of who he is. I'm not terribly fond of Hollywood, and don't get me wrong, I enjoy a good movie once in a while, but most of it is just... But recently, I see very little good coming out of that place. And yet, many actors, when they go out in public, they have to put a hoodie on, or they try and conceal themselves, so people, us regular people, don't recognize them because most of them act a fool and want their autograph and all that crazy stuff. So they conceal who they are. And in order to have privacy at all, they have to sneak around so no one knows where they're at or what they're doing. Well, I want you to think about Jesus for a moment. Jesus was the God-man. He was the eternal God wrapped in a human body, clothed in a human body. He was the promised Messiah by all the prophets. He was hidden. For years they looked for him, but he was hidden. He was inside this body that no one even thought, he's a carpenter's son. Would you have thought anything of it? If the kid next door, if Jesus had been the kid next door and you were watching him, would you have thought anything of it? Oh, he's a nice little boy. I'm sure he was a nice little boy. I don't think he was naughty or anything. So you would have never, ever thought. Well, that's what was going on with Jesus. God had concealed himself in him. God was in this human body. And it wasn't until Peter finally said it, when he was asked, who do you say I am? And Peter had that revelation. You're the Christ. You are the living God. Whoa. That's how I feel Peter finally realized that Jesus was more than just a man. He was more than just a great teacher. He was God walking around in human flesh. And that is why we follow him today, because of who he is. He is God. Number two, we follow because of what he did. All across America, we have people who are followed for what they did or do. When I was younger, and probably quite a bit younger, there was a golfer named Arnold Palmer. Okay, old people, raise your hand. You remember Arnold Palmer? Thank you. The other young kids are like, Tiger Woods. There you go. You can think about Tiger Woods. But Arnold Palmer had a huge following. And when he would go from place to place, they would go and follow him. And they came to be known as Arnold's Army. Now, they followed him because of who he was. Because of what he was doing. He was a great golfer, and they were inspired by him. Now, how many of you remember Parrot Heads? Oh, come on. Thank you, Michelle. Jim. More of you have to know who Parrot Heads are. Yeah. Who did they follow? Jimmy Buffett. Oh, come on. I'm not the only old person. They followed Jimmy Buffett, and the kids again, who is Jimmy Buffett? Cheeseburger in Paradise. Now, means nothing to them. He was a popular rock singer back in the day, and he had people that would flock. I even worked for a guy one time who had to get off work because he was a parrot head. He had to take off to the nearest Jimmy Buffett concert. So I'm not saying he was good. I'm just saying that's what they did. But even today, have you noticed how many people flock to go to see Taylor Swift. Now, I get Jimmy Buffett more than I do Taylor Swift, but that's just me. I'm not, okay, never mind. But anyway, that's what people do. They flock after. They enjoy people, what they do, so they'll fixate on them and they'll watch them. Could I even say maybe Trumpers fixate on it? Fair? Well, that's what happened with Jesus. They followed Jesus because of what he did during his lifetime. He healed the sick, and he comforted the grieving, and he fed the hungry. But his greatest achievements were what he did on the cross and in the tomb. On the cross, he took our place, yours and mine. Listen, folks, he didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve to have the flesh ripped off his back by being whipped. He didn't deserve to be nailed to a cross and in terrible agony. It was terrible agony. You know, I had a broken ankle one time and a broken elbow. I thought I was in agony. That was a piece of cake compared to what Christ went through on that cross. It was awful. But he did it because he was our substitute. He went and sat on and hung on that cross to pay the price that was ours so that we didn't have to. And then he went to the tomb. And he conquered death and the grave. Now, when we say that, most people are like, oh, okay, he conquered death and the grave. No, you don't get it. He conquered it so we didn't have to fear death anymore. He conquered that so that when we take our last breath, we're with him. It's not that we have to suffer a time. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, if you've repented and accepted him, when your last breath is here, you're there. And that's because of what he did in the tomb. He conquered death and the grave. In that tomb, he demonstrated the fact that death will no longer have victory over us. That is huge. Because of that, he has become a living Savior. Do you ever think about that? Because of what he did in the tomb and conquering that, and because he rose again, he has become a living Savior. Not just we worship him because he died, not just we worshiped him because he rose, but because he's alive. And people continue to follow that, and that same message over 2,000 years later. It's amazing. Number three, we follow him because of what he can do. We follow Jesus today because he is able to forgive our sins. He is able to make us clean and acceptable in the sight of God. We follow him today because only he can give us the gift of eternal life. He takes the scales off of our eyes and causes us to see things the way God does. Do you ever remember a song that sang about that? That take my scales. They want to see. I want to see like you. I want to see people with your eyes, so that instead of hating what they are doing or being frustrated by the world, I can see your love for them. That's what he did. That's what he can do. He can take those scales off of our eyes. We follow him because he and only he is able to give us victory over the evil that keeps coming at us. If you don't think evil is coming at you and your kids constant, it's like an automatic gun or something. Pum, 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 pum. That's what evil's doing to us and to our children every day. Even if you keep your kids home, if you watch a television, boom, 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 it's coming at you. You go out and you go to a grocery store. Whoa, people are mean. You ever notice that? People are mean, spirited, snotty old people. And you're supposed to, as a Christian, smile and say, yeah, have a nice day. When you know what you really want to do is, yeah, never mind. Me, I can be quick-witted, but I can also be sharp-tongued. That's not really good. As a Christian, I have to fight that. Because as a Christian, I'm not supposed to say what always pops in my head. And when someone is rude and mean and snotty, oh, Jesus, help me. Sweet Jesus, help me, because I'm going to lambaste them. I'm going to tell them what I think, and I can't. But Jesus has given us victory over that. He is giving me victory over that tongue of mine most of the times. But that is what he does. Because the evil is out there, but sometimes it's always also in here, that I need victory over that evil. And only he can help us to live a victorious life. Number four, we follow because we need him. Everybody needs somebody. Children need their parents. Wives need their husbands. Husbands need their wives. And shoot, you know how one thing goes wrong, it seems like lots of things go wrong? Wayne got, you know, he got his gallbladder problems, then he went in for the surgery, and he had this mess, you know, yada, yada, you've all heard all this. My shower goes out. I pull my little, that little knob up, you know, for the shower to come, the water to come out. Nothing. It's a trickle. I'm supposed to wash my hair under a trickle. Oh, Lord. So, but it's okay. We ordered the new parts, got it fixed. Praise the Lord. The next week, I go down to use my dryer. Smells like gas. I opened up the dryer door. It's full of natural gas. I don't mess with gas, folks. Mary got a new dryer. That one went out the door. The service kid who came picked it up says, well, it's probably just, I don't care what it is. Get it out. I'm getting new. And I needed people during that time. I needed my family, my son and son-in-law, to put in a new dryer for me. Everybody needs somebody. And we need each other in the church. We need to be there for each other. Sometimes, just to keep our sanity. You know, sometimes things go on in your life and you don't necessarily need someone to come over and put a new dryer in for you, but you need somebody to talk to or you're going to just go crazy. Ever had that? That's what we're for. That's what we are here for. To call each other, to help each other. That's why we need him. That's why we follow him. He is the one who brings us peace of mind in the midst of everything that we go through in life. Number five, we follow because others need him. People have many needs. They need an education. They need jobs. They need medical care. They need insurance. They need food and clothing, shelter, a new dryer. We all need some stuff, every one of us. But the most important thing that every single person needs is Jesus. A person's greatest need in life is for a right relationship with God. And this can only come through repentance and through faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to Matthew 6 with me a minute. And it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I have a revelation for you, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. I heard a story one time about a woman who just, you know, she was doing everything. She was in ministry. She helped people. She did all sorts of wonderful things on earth. And then she passed away. And she went and she stood before the Lord. And he said, yeah, you did some really great stuff. That was wonderful. But you neglected one thing. I put children in your care, and you didn't tell them about me. You didn't share with the most important thing in your life with something so important as your children, your grandchildren. Do not blow your responsibility. Don't do so many good things and neglect the most important thing. And it doesn't even have to be your kids, but little ones. You know, we have a hard time finding people that want to teach children. We have a very hard time. And they are like sponges, and they need to hear this stuff, folks, because once they hit a certain age, if they haven't been taught about Jesus Christ, it's much harder to reach them. You have got to train your children. You have got to talk about Jesus Christ to your 1-year-old, your 2-year-old, your 3-year-old. I'm thrilled to death when I hear them singing Jesus Loves Me and trying to drown out the praise team, because they're getting it. It is the most important thing. What I sing and what I sound like means nothing. But if these young ones can get Jesus Christ into them before they are even 2 years old, people, that's where it's at. You will meet someone's greatest needs, even children, when you help them to receive Jesus Christ. When they receive forgiveness of their sin and a new life that comes through Jesus. And I'll be honest with you, it's easier for me standing up here telling a whole group than it is for me one-on-one. One-on-one's hard for me. That's my nature. You think, oh, she could talk and talk. No, I get intimidated when it's one-on-one. When it's a whole group, I'll testify, whatever. That's just an easier thing. But I'm not everybody. Some of you, it's easier for you to talk one-on-one with a friend. Don't miss your opportunities. We follow him because other people need him, and he uses us to reach them. We don't follow Jesus to be part of an elite club. It costs the disciples everything. And that's exactly where we are today. Following Christ in today's world is not easy, and it is not for the faint of heart. Christians are being martyred all over the world. And for some reason, the Christians in this country think that they have a free pass and they will not be persecuted. I got news for you, folks. It's here. It's not coming, the persecution of Christians. It's here. And if you're not feeling some persecution, that might be a wake-up call. You need to be out there proclaiming Christ. People should know just by watching you that you're a follower of Jesus. If someone says to you, "Why? What's different about you? What is it about you? You don't do the, you know, even at work, guys, you don't do that. You don't act like that. You don't take shortcuts. What is it?" And women, I'm not letting you off the hook. Same thing. If they can't see Jesus in you, there's a problem. And there is a world going to hell. A large world, a large amount of people going to hell. And we're watching. And there's a problem with that. We will face persecution. So I know why I follow Jesus Christ. It's time for soul searching. Because I had to think about these things while I was typing them up. I know why I follow Christ. I have been forgiven of a whole lot. You people see the cleaned up, revised version of Mary. And I'm glad. But he forgave me a lot. And he's forgiven all of you a lot. Because sin is sin. And even if you don't think it's a big deal, in the eyes of a holy God, it's a big deal. And he has forgiven each and every one of us of far more than we deserve. I follow because of love and gratitude. I don't take that lightly. And I don't want you to take it lightly. You can walk out of here today and in 15 minutes forget I said this. That's on you. But if the Lord is prompting your heart that you need to speak to someone, you better do it. Not because Mary said so, but because the Holy Spirit is telling you that. If you have an area in your life that is wrong or dirty, or you would have shame to let Jesus see you, looking at that, doing this, acting this way, if that's going on, you need to look at it, you need to address it, you need to turn it over to Christ. Because it's that important. Because if we take the name Christian, we are an ambassador of His. People are watching us and saying, well, they're a Christian and they're doing it. I don't want to get to heaven and have God say, why did you act like that? Why did you do that? You were wearing my name. You had my badge on. You were telling people you were mine and you still acted like that? Shame on you. We are followers. I know why I follow Christ. Now you need to figure out why you do. And only you can figure that out. Let's pray. Father God, you are a gracious and loving God. You are slow to anger and abundant in mercy. Today we ask for your mercy on us, that you would help us through those areas that we have not turned over to you. We know why we follow you, Jesus Christ, because you did everything for us. You have redeemed and saved us, and we love you for that. But we still have areas we need to work on because, Father, we want to be those people who go to others to bring more to you. We can't take our stuff with us to heaven, as we read in your word. Our treasures are those people that we are witnessing to, who we are bringing to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we ask that you would give us the courage and the opportunity, Lord, to reach those people. Father, it is a privilege to follow you because of everything that you have done for us, providing a way out from death and the grave. We love you, Lord. There's not much more we can say. We ask that you forgive us, and we tell you we love you. I ask that you would be with each and every person here, that you would send your Holy Spirit to them to fill them to overflowing, so that when the opportunity arises, whether it is with their children, whether it is with their grandchildren, whether it is with the great-grandchildren, that you would give them the ability to show the love of Jesus Christ to each and every one of them, and even to the rotten people we meet out in the grocery store or out in the world, Lord. Let them see you through us. Let them see why the crowds followed you. Let them see why we follow you. We ask all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Jim, would you give the blessing, please?